Easy answers for Knox and the 20 old folks. A tour group from Seattle, hustling from one scheduled stop at the Dakota Land Museum to the next at Mount Rushmore. And yes, they had confirmed reservations at a tourist motel near the monument. 13 rooms for the 4 married couples plus 4 pairs who were sharing, plus 4 individuals who had paid a singles supplement, plus 1 for Knox himself. All true information, but not exactly necessary under the circumstances. Peterson made Knox show him the motel paperwork. Then he turned to Reacher, smiled, and said, "Sir, I'm Andrew Peterson from the Bolton PD, Deputy Chief. Would you mind telling me who you are?" Plenty of Heartland cops were ex-military, but Reacher didn't think Peterson was. He wasn't getting the vibe. He figured him for a guy who hadn't traveled much, a straight-arrow kid who had done well in a local high school and who had stuck around afterward to serve his community. Expert in a casual way with all the local stuff, a little out of his depth with anything else, but determined to do his best with whatever came his way. "Sir?" Peterson said again. Reacher gave his name. Peterson asked him whether he was part of the group. Reacher said no. So Peterson asked him what he was doing on the bus. Reacher said he was heading west out of Minnesota, hoping to turn south before too long, hoping to find better weather.
"You don't like our weather?"
"Not so far." "And you hitched a ride on a tour bus?" "I paid." Peterson looked at Knox, and Knox nodded. Peterson looked back at Reacher and asked,
"Are you on vacation?"
Reacher said, "No." "Then, what exactly is your situation?"
"My situation doesn't matter. None of this matters. None of us expected to be where we are right now. This whole thing was entirely unpredictable. It was an accident. Therefore, there's no connection between us and whatever it is that's on your mind. There can't be."
"Who says I have something on my mind?"
"I do."
Peterson looked at Reacher long and hard. "What happened with the bus?"
"Ice, I guess," Reacher said. "I was asleep at the time."
Peterson nodded.
"There's a bridge that doesn't look like a bridge, but there are warning signs."
Knox said,
"A car coming the other way was sliding all over the place. I twitched."
His tone was slightly defensive. Peterson gave him a look full of sympathy and empty of judgment and nodded again. He said,
"A twitch will usually do it. It's happened to lots of people, me included."
Reacher said, "We need to get these people off this bus. They're going to freeze to death."
"I am too."
Peterson was quiet for a long second.
"There's no connection between us and whatever it is that's on your mind."
Then he nodded again, definitively, like his mind was made up, and he called out,
"Listen up, folks. We're going to get you to town where we can look after you properly. The lady with the collarbone and the lady with the wrist will come with me in the car, and there will be alternative transportation right along for the rest of you."
The step down into the ditch was too much for the injured women, so Peterson carried one and Reacher carried the other. The car was about 10 yards away, but the snow was so thick by then that Reacher could barely see it, and when he turned back after Peterson had driven away, he couldn't see the bus at all. He felt completely alone in the white emptiness. The snow was in his face, in his eyes, in his ears, on his neck, swirling all around him, blinding him. He was very cold. He felt a split second of panic. If for some reason he got turned around and headed in the wrong direction, he wouldn't know it. He would walk until he froze and died. But he took a long step sideways and saw the crimson halos of the flares. They were still burning, valiantly. He used them to work out where the bus must be and headed for it. Came up against its leeward side and tracked around the front, back into the wind, through the ditch to the door. Knox let him in, and they crouched together in the aisle and peered out into the darkness, waiting to see what kind of a ride had been sent for them.
5 to 6 in the evening. 58 hours to go. At 6 o'clock, the 14 criminal proposals finally made it to paper. The guy who had answered the lawyer's call was plenty bright in a street-smart kind of way, but he had always figured that the best part of intelligence was to know your limitations, and his included a tendency to get a little hazy about detail when under pressure. And he was going to face some pressure now. That was for damn sure. Turning proposals into actions was going to require the sanction of some seriously cautious people. So he wrote everything down, 14 separate paragraphs, and then he unplugged the brand new, untraceable pay-as-you-go cell from its charger and started to dial. The ride that had been sent for them was a school bus, but not exactly. Definitely a standard Bluebird vehicle. Normal size, normal shape, regular proportions, but gray, not yellow, with heavy metal mesh welded over the windows, and the words Department of Corrections stenciled along the flanks. It looked almost new. Knox said, "Better than nothing." Reacher said I'd go in a hearse if it had a heater. The prison vehicle K-turned across all three lanes and sawed back and forth for a while until it was lined up exactly parallel with the dead bus, with its entrance step about halfway down the dead bus's length. Reacher saw why. The dead bus had an emergency exit, which was a window panel ready to pop out. Peterson had seen the ditch and the passengers and the panel and had made a good decision and called ahead. Peterson was a reasonably smart guy. Normally, 18 random seniors might have needed an amount of coaxing before stepping through an open hatch into a blizzard in the arms of a stranger, but the bitter cold had quieted their inhibitions. Knox helped them up top, and Reacher lifted them down. Easy work, apart from the cold and the snow. The lightest among the passengers was an old guy, not more than 95 pounds. The heaviest was a woman, closer to 200. The men all wanted to walk the short distance between the two vehicles. The women were happy to be carried. The prison bus might have been almost new, but it was far from luxurious. The passenger area was separated from the driver by a bright steel cage. The seats were narrow and hard and faced with shiny plastic. The floor was rubber. The mesh over the windows was menacing, but there was heat. Not necessarily a kindness from the state to its convicts, but the bus manufacturer had built it in for the school kids that the vehicle was designed to carry, and the state had not ripped it out. That was all. A kind of passive benevolence. The driver had the temperature turned up high and the blower on max. Peterson was a good advance man.